Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Since the Israelites had left their slavery in Egypt some 45 years earlier, there remain now only two of the original men alive. During this time, God had done many things that we would consider contrary to nature. Things like providing about 2 million people with food from heaven every day for 40 years aren't what we consider normal. Another example is holding back the flow of a flooded river to allow his people to cross into their promised land. Today's Bible adventure covers the story behind another contrary to nature event that God performed, but he's never done again in the history of the world.
Joshua! Joshua! Just listen to this.
What is it, Joram?
Those wretched Gibeonites have just sent word that the kings of the Amorites are about to attack them, to punish them for having made an alliance with us. And they want us to help them defend their city.
Yes, I've been waiting for something like this to happen.
Well, surely we aren't going to aid the Gibeonites, are we? Why, just think how they've deceived us. It seems unthinkable that they should even ask such a thing
of us. I can understand why you feel as you do, Joram. However, we did make a treaty with the Gibeonites in the name of the Lord God of Israel. So it is now our duty to help them. Besides, sooner or later we shall have to fight the Amorites. Now is probably as good a time as any.
I guess you're right. But those Gibeonites certainly have some nerve.
Go quickly, Joram, and order the army to assemble. We'll march in 30 minutes.
Yes, sir.
O Lord God, thou hast given us victory over all our enemies to this day. But now we must do battle with the Amorites, who are mighty and great in number. Help us, Lord.
Fear not the Amorites, Joshua, for they are delivered into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee.
Then Joshua led the soldiers of Israel up to Gibeon, and they fought fiercely with the Amorites.
Joram, bring Hamel to me.
Right away, Joshua.
Oh, and tell Joab and his men to go and help Ezra take that hill to the south.
Yes, sir.
You wish to see me, Joshua?
Oh, Hamel, yes. Take your men just behind the crest of that hill to the east, and let none of the enemy pass you.
Yes, sir.
Come on, men!
We are doing unbelievably well, Joshua. A large number of the Amorites tried to escape down the road to Beth Horon, but huge hailstones fell upon them and killed, I'm sure, a greater number of them than our soldiers have.
As the Lord has promised, he is with us.
Look, though, Joshua. The sun is getting low in the sky.
Ah.
Darkness will soon be upon us, and the rest of the Amorites will escape.
Yes, if only there was some way to destroy them all before nightfall. Once we've finished the Amorites, the way to the sea lies open. We must destroy them all this day.
But how? There isn't much time left.
Do not fear, Joram. The Lord has promised us the victory. In the name of the Lord God of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon.
Hamel, here come the men who are to relieve us.
Well, I'm sure glad they've arrived. I don't know how we could have held out much longer. I wonder when it's going to get dark. The sun seems to have been standing in one place for hours.
Now that you mention it, the sun has been right where it is now for an awfully long time.
Well, I don't understand it. I mean, the sun just can't stand still.
It ought to be dark by now.
And the sun obeyed Joshua and stood still for a whole day so that the children of Israel could conquer the Amorites and destroy them utterly.
Now that we've conquered the Amorites, Joshua, the way to the sea is wide open, as well as all the rest of the land of Canaan.
Yes. Now for the next step. We must make sure that all the land is divided fairly, for all our people have fought well and have an equal right to the land.
Now what do you have in mind?
I'm going to appoint surveyors to make maps of the land.
An excellent idea.
That way we shall know exactly how large the land is and what it contains.
And then I'm going to set up a committee of elders to help me divide the land by lot among the tribes and families. It's a difficult thing to do right. We must be careful not to cause jealousies and bad feelings among the people.
So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses. With the Lord fighting on Israel's side, none of Israel's enemies were able to stand against them.
After the people of the large city of Gibeon, which was close to Jerusalem, had tricked Joshua and the leaders of Israel into making a treaty with them, it wasn't long before a group of five kings in that region threatened to attack Gibeon and punish them for only looking after themselves. These five kings were collectively known as the Amorites. They had descended from Noah through his son Ham and grandson Canaan. The Israelites, however, were descendants of Noah's son Shem, and they were now having many victorious battles against the Amorites. When threatened by the Amorites, the Gibeonites called for Joshua's help. So Joshua and the Israelite army made an all-night and uphill 35-kilometer march from Gilgal to reach the Gibeonites. The Israelites arrived in Gibeon before the attacking kings were ready for them. God threw the kings into confusion, and the Israelites won a great victory that day. The Lord gave additional help by sending hailstones on a fleeing Amorite army, and these hailstones killed many soldiers. God had promised Joshua complete victory, but as the sun was soon to go down, a large number of enemy soldiers would be saved under the cover of darkness. Joshua commanded the sun to stand still over Gibeon so that the battle could be completed. In response, God miraculously stopped the sun. There are a number of different opinions about how these words should be translated. Clearly, however, there was a major event that occurred in the physical heavens. It seems to our modern knowledge that the earth stopped rotating on its axis for about 12 hours that day. Is this possible? Of course it was, but only for our God. Whatever happened on the day, and however God did it, it was an unforgettable demonstration of God's power over his created universe. It really wasn't the Israelite army that was winning the land for them, but God himself. How is any of this history relevant to us today? We learn that God faithfully helped Joshua and the Israelite army because they in turn were committed to him, both individually and as a nation. Since the coming to earth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, God made and continues to make a new covenant with individuals of any nation in the world. There's no Christian nation at the present time on earth, but individual Christians live in the nations that they're born in. The Bible prophesies that one day in the future, Jesus' kingdom will be the only kingdom on earth. Jesus died a terrible death and in separation of his loving Father to pay the penalty of all human sin. To prove Jesus' divine nature and perfect victorious sacrifice, God raised him back to life as the first person to be given a new undying body. Each human who wants to live in fellowship with Jesus and later in heaven needs to make a full confession of their sin to Jesus and humbly and sincerely ask him to cancel out their debt of sin that they owe God. The Lord Jesus gladly and freely does this for any and all who believe that Jesus is God's Son and the only way of meeting God in heaven. As a result, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the new believer's life, and this person is made into a new creation who now has an inheritance in God's heavenly kingdom. There's no other way to God in heaven than this. Don't let people deceive you by saying that there are many ways to heaven. Jesus is the one and only way. The new believer is made right in God's sight by trusting in Christ. This is called justification. Justification is a once-only work of God, resulting in God's declaration of a Christian as not guilty before him. All because Jesus took our place for our sin and bore God's punishment for us by dying on the cross. Sanctification refers to the spiritual separation from the world and continues throughout a believer's lifetime. The first stage brings about moral change and a breakthrough from the power and love of sin. It's the point at which believers can count themselves dead to sin but alive to God. Once sanctification has begun, we're no longer under sin's dominion. Our desires change to please God our Father, and we develop a love of being in God's presence and serving Him. The second stage of sanctification requires a lifetime to complete. As we grow in grace through daily spiritual renewal, we are steadily changed to be more and more like Jesus. The Apostle Paul himself claimed that he had not reached perfection, but that he pressed on to attain everything that Christ desired for him. John makes it clear that we'll never be totally free from the temptation or consequences of sin in this life. But thankfully, once God has begun his work in us, he'll finish it faithfully for his eternal purposes. The Bible is our guide to everything we think, say, and do. However, there are many doctrines out there in churches that aren't biblical. They're either extra-biblical or man-made. Both is what the Bible calls false doctrine. Paul told the church at Rome to avoid those who do not hold to the doctrine that he taught. What's the most helpful thing that new Christians can learn so they can start being effective in knowing Jesus and telling others about their newfound faith? Each new Christian has to learn that we are in a spiritual battle for the rest of our earthly lives. Our spiritual enemy is Satan and his many demons. He tries to do everything he can to sidetrack us from walking daily with the Lord Jesus, and we can win the victory over Satan by remaining in Christ. The Apostle Paul explained this kind of war in Ephesians chapter 6, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and, having done all, to stand." What is the whole armor of God? Firstly, the belt of truth. Truth is God's viewpoint on every matter and must be accepted internally so that it can be acted on externally. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. When a person becomes a believer in Christ, that person is given Christ's righteousness in place of their sinful nature and guilt from personal sin. Thirdly, readiness to share the gospel of peace. God offers us a spiritual peace that reaches far beyond what we can ever understand or explain. When we receive and walk in this peace, it settles like a guard over our hearts and minds. We have freely received this gospel, and now we need to share it with others. Fourthly, the shield of faith. Faith is critical in achieving victory in spiritual warfare. When Paul wrote these words, a Roman soldier carried a very large shield to protect his entire body. Faith must be in God's truth only, because faith is only as valuable as the thing to which it is tied. Fifthly, the helmet of salvation. The helmet mentioned is the guarantee of our salvation and eternal life. It's a gift of God's grace. A soldier needs his helmet in battle, or his enemy will likely kill him. In your prayers, always remember to give thanks for your salvation. Lastly, the sword of the Spirit. The previous five items of armor are for the soldier to wear and defend himself. But the sword of the Spirit is the word of God for attacking Satan. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind words from the Scriptures as we pray for help in battle situations. We mustn't pray only for ourselves, but let us remember our Christian brothers and sisters as they go through their trials of life. Our prayers help them to be victorious too. Just as God was with Joshua and his army as they obeyed his commands, so will he be with us today if we faithfully follow his words and walk in living faith in Christ. In Psalm 37 verse 5 it says, "Give yourself to the Lord, trust in him, and he will help you." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.